Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. We've got we're going to hear all about an expo coming up between 2 and 3. We'll learn all about that. The next hour, we're going to learn all about bonsai plants. So that'll be interesting. But first of all, it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Bob Rich. Now, I've spoken to Dr. Bob Rich before. He's an author, and we want to talk about his latest book and where you can get to meet him. So first of all, welcome, Bob.
Thank you for the honour of having me here, Alan.
Not a problem. I just should say the reason I played that song, Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson turned 93 today. Gee, it's hard to imagine some of these old people singing around that we grew up with, and they're in their 90s. But anyway, let's talk about Bob. Bob, you've written another book, and it's called The Hole in Your Life. Is there a story behind why you called it that?
Well, because the death of my daughter in December 24 left a big hole in my life, yep, which will be there for the rest of my life. Anyway, I'd like to tell the lovely people of Healesville that there'll be a meet the author in the library in 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Yep, on the 21st of May, isn't it?
That's correct.
And in the afternoon.
If I may say, anyone who never makes a mistake is a liar. my publisher made a mistake, yeah, and sent me a box of books of my 18th book, which is From Depression to Contentment. Right. So I'll have both of those books along. Yeah. And
all right. So let's – now, I've read a little bit about the story of the whole of your life. Tell us a little bit about it. Sounds, yeah, depressing, but if I know you, it's more of a self-help book than a depressing book.
It's not at all a depressing book.
Yep.
It's the book you need when your whole life falls apart for any reason, including but not limited to the death of a person you love.
But it's – but there's a story written around it, isn't it? It's not...
It's actually got two skeletons.
Right. Tell us about them, please.
Anatomically difficult, that may be.
Yep.
Originally, I wrote it around a young couple.
Yep.
I won't give identifying details.
No.
But they were referred by different GPs for both being suicidal.
Why?
Well, he was a little bit... thoughtless, and she was a little bit negligent, and as a direct result, their infant son died.
Right, yep.
And they terribly blamed each other, and as I said, they felt suicidally guilty.
So they didn't, neither of them sort of saw themselves as guilty.
They both felt terrible guilt, well as blaming the
other. And they blamed the other one.
Yeah.
Yep. So
they had 9 sessions with me individually. Right. And then 3 collectively. And last follow-up phone call, they were still together.
Yep.
And
so,
for all I know, they're still married.
Right. So, but you didn't write that book just for these people, did you? Like, apart from there being their story.
I wrote that before my daughter got diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
Then I got it out to remind myself of the tools that I've taught to my clients.
Yeah.
And my clients have taught me.
Yeah. So the idea
So the second skeleton is around my dealing with my daughter's cancer and death.
Right. So when you did that, it's a case of... at the end, like, you obviously helped this young couple. So therefore, are you saying that when you, by helping them, you actually, in this story, you're also helping any other people that are in the same situation?
Variety of, I cover pretty well every aspect of grief. It's only a little book.
Yep.
But there's a lot in it.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to get, so... the people who go along and buy this book, they're going to get, it's not just a story about this couple and then that's the end of it, is it? It's So anybody who gets that, who is in the same sort of situation, it's going to show them the way through or give them a guidance?
Look, the tools in there.
Yep.
What helped me stay on this planet and stay sane, despite the daily horror story, that's the news.
Yep.
I'm cursed with too much empathy.
Yeah. Right.
And so other people's pain hurts me.
Right.
So I deal with that in the same way as what I've set out. One of my case studies, yep, included, with the lady's permission, is initially she was referred to me as a victim of crime. She'd, yep, been terribly bashed, right, by her husband.
Yep.
And then he died.
Right.
And 3 months down the track, she told me that she missed him.
Yeah, even though she'd been, yeah, treated so badly.
So I cover that as a case.
But is that in this book or in that
another
book?
It's in this book.
Oh, it's, yeah, in this book as well. Yeah. Yeah. So it's hard to believe that someone who's been bashed would then miss the person, wouldn't they? You'd think that they'd be thinking to themselves.
It's very frequent.
Is it?
Yes.
You would think they'd be almost say, oh, I'm glad that's not going to happen again.
Physical abuse almost invariably goes with financial abuse.
Oh, does it? Yeah.
You cannot spend a cent without my approval.
Oh.
And so when he died, she had a fair bit of money but couldn't access it. She had to learn all those things.
Oh,
that he kept her from.
And that's in this. So that's interwoven. So you've got two stories interwoven.
No. That's a chapter.
Yeah, but
I hated him, but I miss him. That's the chapter title.
I've got to take a quick break. Some sponsors have turned up. I'm interested to follow that along a little bit further.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
Now, Bob, I'm not asking you to give the plot away or to talk too much about the book, because obviously you want people to come along and talk to you and buy the book. How do you have a story that's about a young couple, which is what the... And then you slot in a chapter. Is that chapter at the end about this other one?
No. It's in the middle. I cover all sources of grief I could...
So it's not only about the young couple. You've got, apart from this other lady, you've got other people in there as well.
Oh, yes, yes. Including and right through myself, my progression with how I handled my daughter's cancer.
So that's it. That's is part of the whole of the book. Bob, I just want to go back a bit. You said about this other lady that you've got in the, that's just one chapter about her life. How does a person who's been mistreated then all of a sudden miss the person? Because I would have thought that the person would, that lady would be thinking, oh, thank God, I don't have to worry about being pushed around again.
But no one tells me what to do. I have to work out all the decisions myself.
So you're
saying... Very hard for someone who's had 20 years of... obeying.
So what you're saying, I see where we're going now. So what you're saying is that then she had to almost relearn her life as an adult.
It's rather funny. I keep nodding to you.
Yeah, the people can't
see
that.
It's somewhat invisible.
No. So she really has to start off financially to look after herself.
Well,
does she?
I got a financial counsellor to help her access her bank accounts and stuff like that.
Because she'd been so badly treated, she didn't even have her own money or she didn't have access to the bank.
No. It was all online and only he had the passwords, etc.
So that's really coercion, isn't it?
Yeah. Slavery.
Yeah.
I've had lots of experience with abused women. Many of them homeless because they lived in their car.
Right.
To escape.
Yep.
And there are local charities to look after them.
But there's not enough, is it? I mean,
interview... We want to eliminate the cause.
Well, I interview a number of those organisations and they're always saying, look, we've got nowhere to send them. We just haven't, like, we've got a number of flats or we can only afford so many motels a night. So... I believe there are still plenty out there that can't. But the other thing is too, and I don't want to sound sexist because we've been talking about abused women, but I know a friend of mine was an abused man too.
Well, I have an ex-client who, if he misbehaved, according to his wife, she'd kick him out of the house and he'd have to spend the night outside, never mind the weather.
True. Well, this... God.
She didn't hit him as such, but it was abuse. Plus.
Well, this friend of mine, she used to hit him over the head with a book while he was asleep and stuff the like.
Maybe
that.
He snored.
I don't know, but I mean, and he said to me, look, you just, in the end, I can hardly sleep at night because he said, I'm just waiting for it to move to something to happen. So I guess it happens to both men and women.
Yes, it does.
Bob,
about a third of abused people are male.
Are they? So two-thirds women. Has there ever been a lot of studies done as to why people perpetrate this on somebody else? I mean, I just couldn't imagine doing it to someone else. This is me personally. So is there something in their character from the day they're born? Is it the fact that they're born into a house where they've that sort of relationship? Or is it just something that goes wrong?
Well, often it's alcohol or other drugs. Because alcohol is a drug.
Yep.
Particularly speed.
Is it?
Yeah. Marijuana can get some high users to just explode with sympathetic reaction. That's either anxiety or aggression.
Yeah, because a lot of people...
I had a really nice young man who picked up an armchair and threw it out through the window.
True.
I was there.
A lot of people say that marijuana is just a very timid drug, but I've heard of schizophrenia and all sorts of things that can be attached to it down the track, can't they?
Well, personally, I only take two things that will affect my brain, and that's coffee and chocolate. Chocolate's my favourite vegetable.
Well, unfortunately, some people have to take blood pressure tablets, which affects your brain a bit too, because it takes a while to get onto them. But, I mean, they have to do that for medically.
Well, when I was depressed, if I'd known about antidepressants, I would have said no.
Yep.
I was a good psychologist.
Yep.
Precisely because I'd been there myself. And in fact, as I said just before you started, anybody who doesn't make a mistake is a liar.
Yep.
And my publisher made a mistake when I asked for a box of books for my talk at the Hillsville Library.
Which was going to be the 20th book, was it?
Yeah.
Yep.
He sent me the previous one that's done very well and won an award, which is From Depression to Contentment, a Self-Therapy Guide.
Yep. So that actually tells you the steps that you should take, does it, in that book?
Yeah. First, it tells you what depression is about
and
it isn't about.
Yep.
And it's not a chemical brain imbalance. It's because then why is it increasing?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And then it goes through how to get up to normal, which is the walking wounded.
Yep.
And then from there to, to where you are.
All right. I've got to take a quick break. There are a couple of sponsors popped up. And then I want to talk to you, seeing you're going to have the 18th book on sale. We better just mention that because people might want to come buy that.
Of the wheels, the humming of the diesel on her ribbons of steel, carrying the memories of a nation built by hand. See the Indian Pacific span the land. She's the pride of all the railway men cross country where she flies, from the blue Pacific waters to where the mountains rise, by lakes and wide brown rivers, through desert country dry. See the Indian Pacific passing by. Oh, the Indian Pacific, she goes rolling down the track. 5,000 miles travel before she's there and back. Beside the line of drover waves, his battered old gray hat, and kids are catching yabbies down by the river flat. And a woman hangs her washing in a backyard near the line, as the Indian Pacific's rolling by. Hey. Right on time. From the silver of the broken hill to the old Kalgoorlie gold, she mirrors all the colors of the land so hot and old. And the western clouds are blooming and the air is just like wine, and the Indian Pacific's making time. Oh, the Indian Pacific, she goes rolling down the track. 5,000 miles to travel before she's there and to the eastern ocean sand, the Indian Pacific spans the land. Oh, the Indian Pacific. Pacific spans the land.
That was Troy Cassidaly, and of course that was an old song by Slim Dusty, was certainly back in the 50s. I'm talking to Dr. Bob, and he's an author. He'll be available, or he'll be down at the Hillsville Library on the afternoon of the 21st of May, talking about his new book, which is A Hole in Your Life. But he's also going to have his 18th book. So just briefly tell us a little bit about that book too, please, Bob.
Well, I was depressed from at least 5 years of age until 23 years of age.
Were you?
Yeah. So I'm a fellow traveller.
Yep.
And so that book, well, it sets out the tools in an easy-to-use way for any sort of depression.
So it's a self-help book, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Yep.
It's a course of therapy in your pocket.
Right.
So for the cost of a cup of coffee, you can buy an electronic copy.
Yep.
Or you can subscribe to Audible and get it for free as part of your monthly allocation.
Right. Yep.
And, there is a nice young man in Sweden, when he feels himself sliding back to depression, he takes out his phone and reads the relevant chapter.
Oh, that's terrific, isn't it? Yeah. You must be proud of that.
I like being of service. Yeah. One of my cliches is the more you give, the more you get.
And that's true.
And the more you give, the more you grow.
Yeah. Bob, what made you... I know that you've written a lot of these books because of your daughter's travelling through cancer and then the final death. What made you in the very first decide to become an author?
Very first.
Yep.
I got kidnapped by some teenagers.
Yeah.
I was making mud bricks. This was when I was building my house.
Yeah.
And these kids descended on me. Yeah. They had a boys versus girls soccer game, and they were short one person. Yep. And it happened to be winter and cold, so I was wearing gum boots.
Yep.
Didn't bother changing footwear. Slipped on the mud.
Yep.
Ended up in hospital, bored out of my brain. So wrote my first article for the Girl Scouts magazine.
Yep.
And I had a byline column with them until the poor magazine died of old death.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago.
So that's...
And 6 years out of that, accumulated enough articles that I combined with the publisher of Earth Garden magazine, yep, to write my first book.
Yep. Bob, are they all self-help books, or are they all, like, they've got a story, but if you're looking far enough, there is something there for everyone?
There's a lady who's proud that her students call her the school dragon, who has beat her at all my books since 2013.
Yep.
And she says, all Bob's self-help books are full of stories, and all her stories are full of psychological insights.
Yeah, so the stories are there to...
They're fiction.
Yep.
Like one is Hit and Run.
Yep.
A 14-year-old mass murderer decides to... certain events, which you'll have to read the book to see, to model himself on an old lady.
So, but that's
first only in language.
That's a fiction book, isn't it?
That's a fiction book. But fiction can be more true than reality.
I probably can too. But so on a book like that, and when it's pure fiction, have you drawn on some of your experiences for...
It's old Sylvia's journal.
Right.
And she has drawn on my experiences.
Oh, right. Bob, we're getting very close to having the finish. So it's on the 21st of May down here at the Hillsville Library. So if people want to know the time, the exact time, they should get hold of the library. Bob is going to be talking about the two books that we've discussed, the first one being The Hole in Your Life, and also his...
From Depression to Contentment.
I didn't write that one down. From Depression to Contentment. So I guess if particularly if you know somebody or yourself is suffering from depression, it'd be well worth going to talk to Dr. Bob on that day, but also to have a look at the 18th book, because what you say is that people can pull out relevant chapters and say, this is what I am at the moment, or this is how I feel at the moment. Is that the idea behind
it? That's correct, yes. And basically, it's for any source of suffering, yeah. But my publisher insists that every book should be focused on one thing. So it's called From Depression. It could be called From Suffering to Contentment.
Yeah. And so, I mean, obviously that's to take people through right from the time of grief. And grief doesn't only have to be a death, does it?
No. Bereavement is for a death.
Yep.
But grief is a broader concept. If we have a friendly game of chess and you beat me, I might have 30 seconds of grief over it.
Well, I wouldn't be beating you. Bob, look, it's fascinating to talk to you. Unfortunately, I've got to go, but 21st of May down the Hillsville Library, go and talk to Bob and find out a bit about him. Thanks for coming in, Bob.
Thank you.